Today with Sarah McInerney.
Lots of you texting in about remote working and how it's affecting you. One person says, I'm delighted working from home. I'm getting so much more done. I work in a very noisy and chatty open plan office and I have to wear silence headphones. Working at home is much better for getting the work done. And another person says, we need to talk about the impact remote working has on the rest of the family. That's a conversation yet to be had. Not clear from that texter whether he or she thinks it's a good impact or a bad impact on the rest of the family, but you can keep your thoughts and your texts coming on 51551, or you can tweet us at Today Radio RTE. Now, in its latest quarterly bulletin, the central bank, as we've been discussing this morning, has said the economy could shrink by up to 14%, while it also warned that unemployment could average as high as 17%. Now, the bank has said that the continuing uncertainty surrounding the impact of COVID-19 and the risk of a no-deal Brexit allows for some unpredictability attached to these forecasts. So to give us some analysis, I'm joined on the line now by Seamus Coffey, lecturer in economics at UCC. And I suppose, Seamus, maybe first your reaction to this economic forecast from the central bank and indeed its worst case scenario. Would you be surprised at that?
I suppose the first issue to note is that we don't know whether any of these forecasts will actually come to fruition. I think the key issue in the central bank bulletin this morning is the whole issue of uncertainty. I've looked at the document and there's actually over 50 references to the word uncertain or uncertainty across the document. So it's pretty clear they themselves are unsure as to what the future will bring. I think that the key unknown in all of this is just how long this public health crisis lasts. And the duration of that will determine the impact on the economy. The central bank have a sort of a worst case scenario where the COVID-19, the coronavirus, is a second wave and subsequent waves that impacts the economy. And that becomes a very negative hit to the economy. But the central scenario sort of continues as we are now, still with a certain degree of uncertainty, but with the economy beginning to recover as we move into the end of 2020.
OK, so in that scenario of uncertainty around everything, really, what is the best fiscal approach? You know, as former chair of the Irish Fiscal Council, what would you be advising the government to do now?
I suppose you can look at it in two different ways. The first is where we are now in the middle of the crisis and the requirement to introduce crisis response measures, which pretty much the government have done. You have the pandemic unemployment payment, the temporary wage subsidy scheme, the increased spending in health. So those temporary measures have been introduced, and the key there is that they are temporary. We don't have to hugely worry about funding those in the long term. Yes, they're going to have a massive impact on the debt, and yes, we should be concerned about the debt, but I think when it comes to these temporary measures, we do them anyway. And then you have the more medium-term scenario. How do you get the public finances back on track? Are you going to introduce additional sort of spending programmes? Like, we have a programme for government that has reference to slouching care and increases it in social housing, changes in education. They're not temporary measures. They'll have to be funded on an ongoing basis. So I think when it comes to the public finance, you're looking at, yes, introduce your temporary measures. You don't have to worry too much about funding those over the long term. But then if you are going to introduce additional changes, well, where's the money going to come for those?
Yeah, well, one of those actually is the 2% increase for public servants' pay, which we're being told is due to go ahead. It was under the public servants' pay deal. Is that a wise decision? Because that's not a temporary measure. That's something that will come up again and again every year. In the current economic climate, is that wise?
I think you can take the long-term view that as the economy recovers, the ability to fund measures such as this should improve. And I don't think you need to be taking necessarily a harsh action at present. Because again, because of this uncertainty, we don't know how long the crisis will last. We're not in a position like we were 10 years ago or even 40 years ago, where the public finances were in a huge hole and it was very difficult to see how they could be brought back on track. What's happening now is very much sort of a temporary nature. This crisis will pass. People want to get out spending money, employment will increase, tax revenue will rise, and that will do a lot of the heavy lifting in bringing the public finances back on track. We mightn't do it all, but we'll do an awful lot of it. So I don't think there's an argument at this stage that you should be taking unnecessarily harsh measures. And things like the increase in public sector pay, while they are permanent, as you point out, we can look more to the medium term for their funding.
Yeah, I suppose I'm just wondering because, you know, I think there will be a lot of people, the Taoiseach talking, or not the Taoiseach, the Taoiseach said this is going to take a while, sorry, Leo Varadkar, talking earlier in the week about how he could see a divide in the in society and particularly in the jobs market, really, in terms of how this pandemic is going to affect people, with younger people in particular and those in the hospitality industry, for example, being very adversely affected and other people really not being affected at all, and how he wanted to protect people or not to have that divide emerge. And I'm just wondering, in that scenario then, should there be pay increases for people on the public sector pay bill when other people have lost their jobs?
Yeah, I think there's absolutely issues there. And I think maybe one thing we've seen in the crisis is that in the main, things that you might have expected to fall have held up pretty well. So income tax receipts for the government have actually held up pretty well. And the revenue have done excellent analysis using their up-to-date systems that show that actually in aggregate terms, overall pay in the economy isn't down hugely. Now, it is down because of the significant job losses, but maybe not down as much as you might think. And I think when it comes to divides, like the impact of unemployment has been clearly largely felt in areas like the hospitality sector, the retail sector, which is now coming back online and maybe is coming back pretty strongly. We might see that in the services sector as well. And when it comes to part-time work and youth work, and I think in the third level sector we know that a lot of students fund their way through college with part-time work. Are those part-time work opportunities going to be there for them? Is it going to affect things like third level access? It isn't just an issue of employment and maybe issues about income. There could be broader things that need to be taken into consideration. You'd hope that's what the government are doing as sort of they work through the impact of this unprecedented sort of crisis that we've gone through.
How big a threat in all of this would you see Brexit?
Oh, I think that just adds to where we started, the focus on uncertainty. We're now looking at a reasonably hard deadline for the 31st of December. There's potential to change, but it actually requires changes in laws across both the UK and the remaining 27 members of the European Union. Up to now, deadlines could have been changed at a late night meeting. They could have just pushed things back and said, we'll do it in 3 months' time. That's now no longer the case. There is an agreement in place, a legal agreement in place between the UK and the EU, that this transition period will end on the 31st of December and a new free trade agreement is needed by the 1st of January. Most free trade agreements take years to pull together. This has to be done in a matter of months. And what will happen in the free trade agreement is unknown. So again, you're dealing with an uncertain outcome. We don't know what will happen. And it could have a negative impact on other trading sectors of the Irish economy. That the tourism sector is suffering because of the impact of the current restrictions. And maybe small manufacturers, food producers who export into the UK could suffer hugely in January.
If with all those things considered, then, with all of these problems, and again, uncertainty being the key word, when it does come to paying back the deficit, where do you see that money coming from?
Well, again, like once you're introducing these emergency measures, we're going to pay for them with debt. We're going to borrow huge amounts of money. The deficit this year will be over 20 billion. Tens of billions will be added to our debt. But what we have to do after that then is we have to pay the interest. The government isn't going to pay this money back. And at present, interest rates are incredibly low. So the impact of the huge deficit this year, it won't have a huge impact in the near term. Maybe 10, 15 years down the line, if interest rates are different, it could be higher. But I think for the time being, we don't have to worry hugely about the huge gap between government revenue and expenditures opened up. We will borrow the money. And as long as the ECB keeps the taps open, as it looks like they're going to do, we should have no difficulty there. Obviously, that's not a sustainable position over the medium term. The deficit has to come down. But growth will do it. We'll see people getting back to work. People want to go out and spend. Household savings are surging at the moment. People can't get out and spend the money. Once confidence comes back and businesses are open, people will spend, and that will bring the deficit down and that will restore a certain amount of order. If the government wants to do new things like spending money on sláinte care, housing, well then maybe it might need additional revenue sources. But that's increasing taxes or changing taxes to expand the capacity of the state, not to repay debt.
It sounds to me, Seamus, like you'll be very confident that we're not heading for any period of austerity over the next 5 years.
No, I think that the discussion of austerity is somewhat misplaced. If we think what's happened in response to this crisis compared to what happened in 2008. In 2008, there was tax increases and spending cuts almost from the off. What we've seen now is the opposite. The revenue have deferred tax payments. There's been huge increases in spending. And we see a much more appropriate response to the crisis. And as long as these measures are temporary, they don't have to be funded on an ongoing basis. So I think that the calls or the talk about austerity is somewhat misplaced. The recovery will do most of the heavy lifting. And after that, we can see where we stand.
All right. Seamus Coffey, lecturer in economics at UCC. Thank you very much for joining us.